A Brief History of the Holy Roman Empire, Papal Schism of 1130. Now, no sooner had the civil war in Germany died down than a new schism would erupt. Honorius II had seized the diadem with violence, so it is perhaps a testament in his favor that he was an insignificant pope whose reign came to nothing. Aside from his support of Lothar, his most memorable testament, the official recognition of the Knights Templar, which had the strong backing of Bernard of Clairvaux, a prominent theologian who was quickly rising in prestige amongst the empire. When Honorius died in 1130, he had only a few loyal colleagues, and it was only logical that a schism would erupt between his followers and the rest of the clergy. Among Honorius's best ally was Almeric, his chancellor. When Almeric realized that Honorius was dying, he took the pope away to a quiet monastery so that no one would know exactly when he died. Upon his death, Almeric then secretly buried the body and spirited away to Rome, where he and Honorius' supporters secretly elected a new pope, Innocent II. As the sun rose on February the 14th, 1130, news spread throughout Rome that a new pope had been elected in the seclusion of the night, and the majority of the cardinals were absolutely incensed. The cardinals held a new election in public and allowed the entire populace of Rome to witness it. A messianic Jewish convert named Acletus II was duly elected pope, and both Innocent and Acletus were consecrated on the same day, February the 23rd, 1130. Each pope knew that his legitimacy would not depend upon whose election was canonical, but upon who could secure the support of the kings and the people of the empire. Acletus began with the strongest support, owing his manner of ascension. The people of Rome thoroughly backed him. By the end of the year, Innocent had fled to France to muster support there, while Acletus aimed his most powerful ally and Norman leader, Roger II, of southern Italy. Ever since Robert Guiscard had conquered the former Byzantine lands of southern Italy, the land had been divided into various duchies, but it had never been united under a single king. The Normans had become allies of the pope, but had never truly submitted themselves to the emperor's authority. After Robert died, the dukes fought with one another for supremacy, but this fighting was itself interrupted by the Crusades. Now Roger II had come into possession of the duchies of Apulia, Calabria, and Sicily, making him the most powerful duke in southern Italy. He wanted one more thing, a king's crown, and Acletus agreed to make Roger II the first recognized king of Sicily in exchange for his support against Innocent II. He was crowned on Christmas Day, 1130, thereby uniting all southern Italy into a single Norman country. Innocent never had a military ally as strong as Roger, but he made himself a powerful spiritual ally in France, and with that ally, Innocent would eventually prevail. Bernard of Clairvaux had become a prominent and well-respected theologian and abbot. So popular was he that Martin Luther, 400 years later, is said to have preferred Bernard to St. Augustine. In some respects, Bernard's theology was compatible with Protestant theology, for Bernard emphasized Christ above all, but Bernard was still a medieval Catholic, and that meant the Church and its Pope were Christ's representatives on earth. Once Bernard came to trust Innocent, he became his greatest spokesman. Within a year, Bernard of Clairvaux had convinced both the King of France, Louis VI, and the English King, Henry I, to support Innocent II. In the main countries of the empire, only that of Lothar II remained undecided. In March 1131, Innocent met with Lothar to begin long negotiations on his recognition. Innocent agreed to bestow the imperial crown on Lothar, whose struggles with Conrad had prevented this recognition. But Lothar also wanted the right of investiture restored to the crown. Acletus had nobly agreed to submit this dispute to arbitration and to abide by its decision, but Innocent refused. He had apparently already finalized his agreement with Lothar. It was decided that in exchange for his support and military aid, Lothar would be crowned Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, and Innocent would also surrender the vast estates of the Countess Matilda that she had bequeathed to the papacy. In August of 1132, Acletus and Roger II were anathematized, excommunicated, by Innocent II. Of the major kingdoms of the empire, three now supported Innocent, but military aid could not be expected from France or England, and the Kingdom of Sicily was far stronger than Germany. Nevertheless, Lothar wanted the imperial crown, and in 1133 he set out for Rome with his army to overthrow the supposed anti-pope Anacletus. In Rome, Norman soldiers and Anacletus supporters held out Leonine City and St. Peter's, but Lothar was able to capture the heart of Rome, including the Lateran. There on June the 3rd, Innocent kept his promise and crowned Lothar Holy Roman Emperor amid the backdrop of a besieged city. As an interesting side note is the fact that Lothar held the stirrup of the Pope. This symbolic gesture showed humility on Lothar's part, but was more significant, for it was the task of menial peasants. It showed that the Pope was the Emperor's sovereign, a fact not lost on later Emperor Frederick Barbarossa. Not long after his coronation, Lothar was forced to retreat from Rome. From the Leonine city, the supporters of Anacletus were able to stage raids and harass his army. He was doubtless aware, as well, that Roger II would not sit idly by without sending reinforcements. Lothar made his retreat with Innocent to Pisa, while Bernard continued to try and win peaceable support for their cause. Lothar's short-lived victory was interrupted by the news that Conrad had risen in rebellion again. In 1132, Conrad had the first re-entered Germany and defeated Lothar's troops. His desire to be crowned emperor allowed him to ignore the usurper temporarily, but he now returned to restore his lands. Conrad was not one to surrender easily. With Roger II in southern Italy and Conrad invading Germany lands, Lothar did not want a war on two fronts. By 1135, it was obvious that Conrad would not easily disappear. He came to an agreement. Conrad would cease revolt, and in exchange, Lothar would pardon him and restore all the lands he had once had. The extent to which Conrad bartered for the right of ascension cannot be determined, but when Lothar died, the electors chose Conrad over Lothar's son-in-law. Very little debate. The peace settlement freed Lothar for duty in other parts of the realm. In 1135, Denmark became a vassal state of the emperor, and the Polish kings again submitted to German rule after years of dispute. Now Lothar was free for another campaign against Italy. In the meantime, Bernard of Clairvaux had been tirelessly at work, and in 1136 was able to convince Milan to switch their support from Anacletus to Innocent. This was a critical loss for Anacletus. His staunchest supporters had been the Italians. With Milan now favoring Innocent, only Roger II and the Normans remained on his side. That same year, Lothar launched another expedition into Italy with the purpose of driving Roger off the continent. He was initially successful. Roger II was forced to retreat to Sicily, and rival dukes were appointed in southern Italy by Innocent and Lothar. By 1137, virtually all of Italy had been secured by Lothar, but on his return trip to Germany, Lothar died. At this same time, Bernard, hoping to avoid more war, agreed to a meeting with Roger at Salerno, where a debate was held between Anacletus supporters and Innocents. Bernard was said to have been the most eloquent. He made the analogy that the Pope was like Noah's Ark. If Anacletus was the Ark, then all the empire would drown except for the Kingdom of Sicily. If, however, Innocent was the true Ark, then the empire would be saved. The analogy is, of course, false and really boiled down to we have more supporters than you. That Anacletus was properly elected seemed irrelevant at the time, for many years had passed. The present was deemed to be of supreme importance, and Bernard won the debate. The result of the debate was the effective loss of Roger, but Roger was not willing to accept Innocent unless concessions were made. Negotiations continued while Anacletus held out in Rome. His death, however, came a month later, January of 1138. His supporters elected a Victor IV to replace him, but it was obvious that all support was lost. In May, Bernard negotiated a peaceful solution. Victor IV promised to surrender the papacy to Innocent, and Bernard promised that no further action would be taken. Innocent, however, lied. As soon as Innocent took possession of Rome, a council was held at the Lateran, and he reneged on his promise. Victor and his allies were banished against the angry protestations of Bernard, who had made Innocent the Pope. It's kind of interesting when you turn your back and lie to Bernard of Clairvaux. That's going to cost you some afterlife brownie points at some point. But next we'll be looking at Conrad's rise and a Roman rebellion. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.